Louise McSherry.
Weekends from 9
on 2FM.
Pride is a time to come together and celebrate everyone in the LGBTQ+ community. One aspect of this celebration is learning and understanding other people's experiences of being LGBTQ+. To speak to us about the experiences of being LGBT in the traveller community and Roma community, excuse me, is Owen de Bardoon. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Louise. Wonderful to be on for a bit of a chat this morning.
Oh, I'm delighted to be speaking to you. Happy Pride.
Oh, happy Pride. I keep forgetting to say it to people.
That's okay. What does Pride mean to you, Owen?
Pride really is a protest. I know people often just say that, but it's a protest about recognition that, like, the avenues of what we have been represented by, we were included by, have been ones that we have fought for. Mm-hmm. And that's why we can celebrate that, we can celebrate our diversity and our belonging and our beauty. It's very much a recognition that everything that we have has because we have worked hard in the background, in the foreground, in all the spaces to make sure that we're not only recognised, but that we are truly seen as part of the community.
Hmm. And tell me about being LGBT in the traveller community. How does it differ, do you think, from being LGBT in the settled community?
Well, I think many of the challenges are the same. Mm. Many people just assume that because you're a traveller that there's going to be a higher level of discrimination. Mm. I think every community is struggling with LGBT awareness, LGBT inclusion, you know, we're understanding, developing terminology, developing a kind of sense of the templates that we all kind of have grown up in aren't always realistic or kind of reflective of an actual community. Mm. But for travellers, because we're further away from services, we're further away from, I suppose, social outlets, further away from, I suppose, the common experiences that most people have here in the country, via discrimination, lack of awareness, isolation, is that it can lead to, I suppose, an additional compression of issues. Mm. But at the same time, I'm not sure, have you ever seen travellers walk in Pride? It's one of those surreal experiences, because it's probably the first time in my life that people get excited to see travellers. They go, oh my God, there's travellers, you know, and there's clapping and there's waving, and there's excitement. And if only I could have that when I go into Tesco's rather than being stalked as if I'm going to shoplift, I'd be delighted.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, I wanted to ask you about this, because there's been a lot of talk about racism in Ireland, obviously, over the last few weeks. And I think sometimes people are very keen to talk about racism against people of different skin colours, but there is a lot of discrimination against travellers in this country, isn't there?
Yeah, and how I usually like to start off that kind of conversation is, and for everybody, including yourself, and people don't need to verbalise it, they don't want to, is that I'd like to everybody just think about three things they know about travellers. Just three things that they think they know about travellers. And then you kind of check going, what's the source of that material? Is it truthful? And did it come via a traveller? Because most people actually don't actually know anything about travellers. They know a lot about issues we experience. They know about accommodation, suicide, kind of ideation, the level that 1 in 11 people in the community pass away from suicide, there's discrimination, there's all those kind of issues. But people actually don't know culture, tradition, connectivity. That's the part that gets left out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised, because we're not within the curriculum. Like, we don't have full access to social spaces. And when you don't have those outlets and connections, fear can breed in people and ignorance can breed in people. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you rely on the common tongue. Suddenly everybody has a traveller story of when I was 8, a traveller did this to me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just kind of reinforces this sometimes very negative cycle. Mm. And the only way that you can actually break that is actually get to people, get to know them as actual people.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same with the LGBT struggle. The idea of we're not confined by our gender or our orientation. We're actually people, shock and awe. And the same applies to travellers.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense to me. And actually, as you were speaking, I was thinking about my experience with travelling people. Mm. And I've only ever met travellers through my work. And, you know, happily, I have met travellers through my work. But I suppose there is an issue that maybe settled people don't seek out the opportunity or don't meet the opportunity to actually interact with travelling people.
And even those who do kind of seek out that kind of interaction, it's very difficult. Mm. If you see most of the traditional kind of halting sites, they're in very kind of urbanised areas. There's a lack of like access to facilities, shops, like bus routes, there's the whole kind of barriers around education, like there's a whole plethora of kind of barriers there. But I think what we can start overcoming that is make sure that going, we check who's at the table, you know? Mm-hmm. And we actually check with that, and we make ourselves uncomfortable kind of going, if travellers aren't here, why aren't they here? If the Roma community isn't here, is it that we're claiming that it's all open, it's wonderful and all very accepting, but have we actually asked the people who are experiencing those, they're going, is this actually what you need? Because sometimes people we'll latch on to this idea, oh, we're so diverse and we're so celebratory of it. But at the same time, you're kind of going, it's very difficult for the majority of population to have any sort of positive interaction with the community at times when there's so much fear and there's all this interlacing and layers of like suspicion. Mm. And kind of, and the way to do that is actually just to educate ourselves, like actually start looking at the history and the lore and the complexity of the of policies that go back for like years and years, decades and decades, and start realizing that the experiences and the movement within the LGBT community is very similar within the trafficker community. However, we had a lack of resources, and while anyone could be LGBT, so there's a whole diversity and range of like social casting and access, only a traveller can be a traveller.
Yeah.
So that itself can be an additional barrier, but one that I tell you, I am fully and intrinsically convinced we can overcome.
Yeah.
But it takes patience on both sides.
Yeah.
It takes challenge on both sides. And also it takes us risking the ability to get it wrong.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. To get it wrong and then go, okay, do you know what? I'll try again and I'll try better and I'll fail better, but I'll keep going.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. And I think, you know, when it comes to kind of prejudice and discrimination and racism, it's not a comfortable topic. And even when I'm talking to you here, I'm aware, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want, you know, to offend anyone. But at the same time, there has to be room for mistakes, doesn't there, as you said, because that's the only way that we learn and we move forward. So I love that you said that. So if someone's listening now, and I want to get back to kind of pride, but if someone's listening now and they're thinking, do you know what, I actually need to educate myself about the travelling community and I need to learn more and I need to make an effort. Is there anywhere you would recommend that they go, or any particular material you recommend that they seek out?
Most of the material on Earth is all about the policies and social policies.
Yeah.
And very little is actually about our actual culture. And one of the things I'm actually working on myself, working on a folklore book in order to positive reaffirmation.
Mm.
And it'll be hopefully out in September. But the whole thing would be, like any of the work off like Michael Ojeda is quite good, like the Ordinary Irish. I would say the Turn of the Hand by Mary Marty Ward is quite an interesting one. It's very human. But I always bring me back to those three questions. When people, especially within the media, there's certain newspapers who are just like, they thrive off this like negative traveller exposure. I've always asked those three questions of going, like, what's the source? Is it truthful? And were travellers even involved in that discussion and narrative?
Mm.
And if you're not comfortable with those three things, I'd question again the information that you've been given, because some of that information is very authentically given. Other parts of it comes with this kind of like, I suppose, this like hidden curriculum, like going, this is what you need to learn, this is how you need to react.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of material there. And my first response to anyone who's out there is that challenge that kind of stuff. I mean, going, I don't go on journal.ie much these days because of the comments. I think they were travellers.
Mm.
When I see travellers trending in Twitter, I go, whew, I'm going to make myself a cup of tea before I click that button. And sometimes we need to rely on our allies for people to kind of stand in and step up and kind of say, this is not appropriate. This is not what our community is about. This is not what we want. Like, people are people.
Mm.
You know, and to be so dehumanised sometimes because of a title that you've heard, and it's a beautiful title, and it's one that I adore. But for the wider community not to understand that, it for myself seems so surreal. And in this world where we start the process of celebrating the LGBT identities and pride and this engagement, it's still a world that travellers and people are surprised that travellers are involved in.
Mm.
And I always ask why. Like, what assumptions have you come to the table with?
Mm.
Like, well, I've been going to Pride since I was 17. My father used to drop me up.
Mm.
But this idea is like going, oh, no, travellers couldn't possibly be comfortable with that. You're kind of going, well, that's kind of quite biased. You know, you're basing that on an expectation. Now, there's loads of travellers who aren't comfortable. But you know what? So it's the same with the wider community. There's loads of people who just aren't comfortable.
Mm.
And you're kind of going, like, but don't be pushing that on us because we're struggling enough, you know?
Mm.
And it would be nice if we could see that struggle as the same one. But in the season of Pride, I kind of say to myself, going, one day I'd love to walk down with them in the Pride march and people not be surprised to see us, not to go. Oh, and while it's amazing for my self-esteem, I don't think, like, last year was probably one of the few years this year I didn't walk, I was quite ill. But that's surreal. Oh my God, the travellers, we're so excited, we're so happy to have you. And you're kind of going, could you extend this for tomorrow?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I suppose there is a perception that the travelling community are very conservative, and that's where the surprise comes from. Is that not the case?
It can be, but all parts of the communities are diverse. I think sometimes people misinterpret conservatism with the want to hold on to tradition and identity, because we've lost so much. I mean, like, people call us travellers. Nomadism is illegal in this country, which is such a conflict. And so when people see these shifting identities, the anxiety rises because they feel they're losing more of who they are and who they belong to, and then where they're from. So I don't think it's just conservatism. I think there's a lot more complexity and subtleties within that shift, but it's one that most people are very open to. And at the end of the day, every family wants to love their child.
Yeah.
Every family wants to love their child, regardless of who you are, where you're from. So the kind of, if we return to core and treat people as people, it's obvious that most people are open. Mm. You know, it's just that there are barriers in place. Some of those barriers, it can be educational. Some of those barriers can be situational, like kind of cultural or kind of like the structures. But all overcomable, but only if we work with the honest together.
Mm. And can I ask, you know, when you know, we talked about this yesterday about coming out on the show, and we spoke to Maninia from Belong To about the services that they run, among other things, and within the travelling community, if there is someone who's struggling, just as there may be in the settled community, to come out or struggling with all of that, are there resources specifically for the traveller community? Or in your experience, do those people feel comfortable kind of seeking out the resources that are available in the settled community?
Well, regarding travel specific, there isn't at the moment, but something we're working on.
Yeah,
and we're working on the kind of the National Travel and Roma Action Rights Group. Like Tenney's involved, SG Ireland is quite involved, Exchange Ireland, ITM. There's a lot of it's collaboration between the travel organisations, the LGBT organisations and community members. So it's quite powerful. But when it comes to the wider services, no, I mean, I would say about 4 years ago, I spoke to someone who is a service provider within the LGBT structures who told me travellers don't use their service.
Yeah.
And I was like going, how do you know this? I was entirely based on the fact that they all show the expectation of how we sound, we have accents,
right,
or the person who is so identifiable as a traveller. Yeah. And I always kind of find that really unusual because coming out to the LGBT community is a very big stepping stone.
Mm.
But for travellers, since we're children, we are coming out as travellers.
Yeah.
Either so sometimes like we're reaffirming that we're a traveller, so people are questioning our traveller. So when you're coming out as LGBT too, it's almost like some of that road work has been done.
Yes.
Because people will see you go, oh, that person is a traveller, or you sometimes get people going, I love the idea of member of a community. Like, I filled out the form. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my card.
You paid your fees. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I'm up to date. It's fine. You know, I'm looking forward to discount. And so this idea of like coming out, I think for different communities, especially in minority communities that aren't always embraced, that process is slightly different because we're used to coming out, we're used to the rejection, and we're used to that kind of stuff, we're used to the questioning. And and we've had that same questioning of like, are you sure you're a traveller? It's just like kind of like going, it's like somebody going, are you sure you're gay? It's like, oh, yeah, I've tried this test, it didn't work. I know. I spent years trying it. Yeah. And so I think it's different, and but there's a lot of commonality there. And I think that if people could have the same compassion towards people who are struggling with identity and coming out as LGBT as they are for people who are going through the whole discovery of their own travel identity and re-embracing that, putting it back from the negative, I think that the world will be a far kinder place.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I know obviously it's a big moment for travelling people at the moment with the election of Senator Eileen
Flynn. Oh my God, my eyes are red from crying. I'm telling you, I'm just getting over it.
Well, I'm so happy because I think, you know, it's exactly what we were talking about there. You know, this is a whole new way for people to get to know a member of the travelling community, and representation is so important, and now people will be able to see with their own eyes and hear with their ears, you know.
Yeah, and as long as they don't leave the entire weight of the community on her shoulders.
Yeah.
She's one person, and she's allowed to fail, and she's allowed to get things wrong, so as is everyone else. And the whole thing is like, going, she's not there because she's a traveller, she's there because she's a member of the community, but she has so much other passions. Like, Eileen, one of the first times I felt very nervous walking in Dublin Pride, I had walked in it before, Eileen walked and held my hand. You know? And this is years ago. I've known her about 10 years. She's very compassionate. She's very direct. Plus, she's an authentic voice. But at the same time, she's human. She's allowed to be human. And yesterday, when she's appointed, this is such a powerful change. And we need to insist it not be tokenistic. We need to insist that the person who she is allowed to be who she is in those spaces, not just seen as just a traveller.
Well,
because she's far more than just a traveller.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to get to know her more. Yeah. Thank you so much, Eoin de Bardoon.
Oh, thank you very much.
I really appreciate you coming on this morning. It was a joy to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll speak again. Have a great day. Happy Pride.
You too. Take care.
Thanks so much. Louise McSherry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.